Very much a blessing to be with you again on this large day. This is Palm Sunday 2020. And we're just so thankful to God to let us be here today. Circumstances are not what they normally would be, but we just thank God anyway because He is great and greatly to be praised. Amen. So we want to go ahead. We do have a message from the Lord today. And with this being Palm Sunday, I want to lead you all in prayer. I thank God for letting us come this far. Circumstances are not what we would have liked, but God is good. He is great. He is awesome, and He is worthy to be praised. So I'm going to ask you to pray with me now. I want to say good morning to everyone all around, wherever you are getting this broadcast, and we thank God for you being here with us. We hope you'll go ahead and share it with all the people in your folder there. And anybody you know, share it with a friend, a relative, a neighbor, even an enemy. Amen. Because God is for everyone, and He's trying to get people on board. Amen. So we want to go ahead and have that word of prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bless you today, Father. We give you praise today. We exalt your name. Father, you are great and greatly to be praised. And we are thankful today, Father God, that you have allowed us to be here. Father, we thank you for the activity of our limbs. We thank you for your church, Father, in which we can hear your word and grow. And Father, we just bless your name right now. Father, you are worthy, you are excellent, and worthy to be praised. Father, we're praying that you bless everybody who's under the sound of my voice, wherever they be. Lord God, reach out and touch, because we thank you and we need you and we can't get along without you. Father, we thank you that you're delivering us all the way through everything that we've been through up to this point. And Father, we pray for those who are being afflicted right now, Lord God, wherever they are. We ask that healing flood the entire land. You said, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will you hear from heaven and you will forgive their sins and heal their land. And so, Father, we pray you give people a spirit of repentance everywhere, Lord, that we might begin to repent, set aside wicked deeds so that you can hear our prayer and heal this land. Father, we know that the healing has already been paid for. The blood of Jesus has been shed. And Father, we just thank you today for the blood of Jesus. Father, we celebrate this day the triumphal entry when your son came in on a donkey. And we're going to talk about that in our message, Father. But we thank you that Jesus came right on schedule according to your word. He was not a second late nor a second early. He came right in. On right on schedule, Lord God. So we thank you that you did what you promised right when you said you would do it. You always do what you say you're going to do, Lord. And we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Father, look among the people listening. Somebody needs you to touch them today with healing, Lord. It might be from depression. It could be from anxiety. It could be from stress. It could be from worry, Father, about the future. Whatever it is, Father, you can heal anything and everything. And so we thank you right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, for sending out that healing and that mercy that they need, whoever it is. Father, somebody is worried about a loved one. We ask you to comfort their mind and give them the peace that they need. Whatever it is we're dealing with, Father, we know we can cast all our care upon you because you care for us. And so, Father, today we just bless your name. We thank you today, God. We give you glory today, God. We give you praise today, God. Father, we give you our heart, our lives, our mind, our resources, and we just thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, bless this broadcast today as we go live here on Facebook. Touch some people who never have even seen or heard of this preacher, Lord. It don't have nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with Jesus. We hope to make that plain right now. Lord God, and we ask you to give them the revelation that they too may enjoy this salvation that you have made available, and you want whosoever will to come and be saved. And so, Father, we thank you for the privilege to preach the gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We hope that you are being blessed. I'm going to move right on to our topic today for this Palm Sunday 2020. Amen. All of us know what's going on, what's happening around the world. We all can see that this is a horrible time. Probably in my lifetime, perhaps the worst time in my lifetime that we have seen an odd thing like this that's going on. But I want you to understand something, beloved. God loves you no matter what you are going through, no matter what you're dealing with, however this is impacting you. God loves you. And He's made a way for you. There's nothing going on that He doesn't know about. Nothing going on that He can't deal with. Nothing going on that He doesn't have an answer for it already. Amen. So what we want to do today is to look back just a minute, take a glimpse at what God has already done. God has done some things for you and me. And sometimes when we get into the confusion of what's going on around us, it slips our mind. And so I want to put your mind right back on what God has done. I'd like to speak for the next few minutes about let earth receive her king. Hopefully you see that in the post there. If not, go to teachingbible.org and the notes that I have here in front of me will be there with you on the screen. Now, I couldn't get this out of my mind, so I want to preach this to you right now. Psalms 34 is really wonderful. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Amen. Let's talk about that right now. When you seek the Lord, He will hear you, and He will deliver you from all your fears. Fear is a terrible thing in most cases. Now, I'll talk more about that later. It's a terrible thing to be fearful. The scripture says, on the other hand, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but fools despise knowledge and instruction. So the fear of the Lord is a good fear. There's such a thing as good fear, you don't hear people talking about it. The fear of the Lord is what you need. Without the fear of the Lord, you and I can't do anything. You see? So you got to fear the Lord God. And you know what Jesus said? Do not fear Him who can destroy the body. And when He's done that, that's all He can do. But fear Him who can destroy body and soul and cast both into hell. That's who you should fear. And that's only God. He's the only one who has authority over your soul to cast it into hell or to save it. But you know what? He doesn't want to cast any souls in hell. I want to go on record right now. There is no soul that God will take any delight. He says, I take no delight in the death of the wicked. God wants everybody to repent and turn to Him and be saved. You know what? It's not the problem people have with repentance, and I got to let you know, is that they think, when I get myself together, then I'll come to the Lord. That's not what it's about. God has provided for you right now in the state you're in at this very second. He has provided everything you need to have a right relationship with Him. That's the good news that we call the gospel. You know what? If I had to wait till I get myself together, I would never be in the church. I'm going to let you know now. I'm going to go on record, and that's true of you. If you had to wait till you get yourself together, you won't ever be in the church. But God knew the condition of mankind. He understood how broken we are. He understood that no man could satisfy Him on his own basis. And so God already knew that from the beginning. From the very beginning, there's never been a man born of a woman, nor even created from the dust, if we want to include Adam, who could ever satisfy God on the basis of good works and personal righteousness. Never has been done in the history of the world. See, and so God, He knew that situation. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But we want to boast on God because today is Palm Sunday. Now, we're going to talk about the significance of that. Somebody was talking about, this will be the first year we didn't celebrate Easter in Palm Sunday. No, it's not. I celebrate it every day. I celebrate it every Sunday. Every day is Christmas. Every day is Resurrection Sunday. Every day is the day of the Lord. Amen. This is the day that the Lord has made. He said, let us rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. So I celebrate Him every day. I don't know what they're going to do. Maybe they have to have a ritual or something in order for them to celebrate God. But I'm going to let you know, God sent His King into the world, and His name is Jesus. He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and we shall magnify our God and bless his name. And this, the psalmist here says, at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. This is not a Sunday thing. The Lord God Almighty is worthy of your praise at every second and all through the day. Anytime you think about anything, if you just the ability for you to do what you do is worthy to praise God. You have to give God some praise. Amen. Because he is excellent and worthy to be praised. He says here, the psalmist once again, who is David, they looked unto him and he delivered me from all my fears. I don't want to go over that too quick. If you need a deliverance from fear, call on the Most High God. He will set the fear out and give you the proper fear, the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's the thing we need most. The fear of the Lord is what we need. You know, that's the problem with a lot of folks scuffling right now. They don't have any fear of God. And they think they have to look to man for a solution to whatever problems that we're having. And you know what? Man does provide solutions, but God is the one who should get the glory. Because we haven't done anything and cannot do anything without him. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. See? And so we need to understand that. That's one of the problems with our culture today. Man's so into himself. And he doesn't give God the credit nor the glory. And I believe that's why this shaking that's going on right now is going on. I keep hearing the news talking about, oh, this is an apocalyptic situation. No, it's not. You should read an apocalyptic situation over in Revelation. This here, Jesus said, is the beginning of sorrows. So you know what? I'm not trying to incite fear in you. I want you to trust in the Lord, like the scripture says, with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. That's where we have a problem. Acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Don't you want some supernatural guidance as you go through what you go through? Don't you want some supernatural intervention from the Most High God? Do you know people who have trusted God throughout the years and throughout the ages have gotten intervention from God? That's the only reason that people still can go on to call themselves the righteous. Righteousness is not because of me. Righteousness is because of him. He gives righteousness to whoever trusts in him and believes in him. Amen. Righteousness is a gift from God. It produces good works in us. That's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. For by grace ye have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So God is the one who gets all the credit when anybody gets saved. We should never be sitting looking to somebody else or anything else or any system or any works of righteousness. Titus 3 and 5 says, not by works of righteousness that we have done, but by his great mercy that he poured out richly upon us in Christ Jesus by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. So we want to just partake of that righteousness. God gives it free, and I don't want you to ever worry that you don't have what it takes. You know what? No one has what it takes. And this is the reason why I want you to let hear this message today. Let earth receive her king. Now, you know what? The Bible says, and we move on with this Psalm 34, the fear of the Lord is a good thing, but anything else, don't fear it. If you trust God, why fear it? God has you covered. He's got your back. He knows what's going to happen. Now, you know what? The job market is being shaken up. Everything's being shaken up. But people are being waking up. And I want to see you trust God and watch and see if you trust him, won't he bring you through and set you in a better position than you are now? I don't care where you were and how long you've been off of it. Trust God. Believe him. Call upon him. Understand that he is the one that's going to lift you up and give you what you need. And I'm going to remind you of that as we get down a little further here. It says here, the poor man, they looked unto him and they were lightened. That lightened, that means the load was lifted. And their faces were ashamed. The poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The poor man cried, and the Lord saved him out of all his troubles. Understand that. In Psalms 34, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. You know what? I love the fact that Hebrews 1:14 tells us about the angels, the ministry of the angels. Keep in mind, Satan only had 1/3 of the angels who fell with him. And 2/3, that means twice as many, remain holy and are with God and have become the ministers of righteousness to minister to you and me, the heirs of salvation. Hebrews 1:14 says that, are they not all ministering spirits, speaking about the angels, and they are sent forth by God to minister to those who are the heirs of salvation. In other words, if we have received salvation, God encamps around about you with ministering spirits who are called angels. The host of heaven are there to protect you. Amen. I rest in the fact that the angelic hope and help has been provided for you. Then he goes on to say here, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You can experience God with all your senses. Your sense of smell when you smell a rose or a beautiful fragrance. Your sense of hearing when you hear His Word reinforcing your soul and giving you the knowledge of His grace and His mercy. When you hear the voice of your family and your friends and people who call upon you, things of that sort, you can embrace God with your hearing. But when you bite into a juicy steak or biscuits or whatever you happen to be eating, you can taste and see that the Lord is good. You can taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. He gives you so you can experience Him in all of your different ways. And so I want you to understand that you can, it says, oh, fear the Lord. There in verse number 9 in Psalms 34, ye His saints, for there is no want to them for them that fear Him. See that? So there is a good fear, and that's the fear of the Lord. There is no want for those who fear Him. If you fear the Lord, don't worry about it. God got your back. He's got you covered, and you don't have to worry about it. And that's why He says, oh, fear the Lord, all ye saints, for there is no want for them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want for any good thing. Trust God all through this whole period. If you do, He's got you covered. Amen. And that's the truth. What I want you to see here, He says, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Now, you know, it's interesting. We have to learn the fear of the Lord. We have to learn it. It's not something we naturally know. It's something that God has to teach us. This is the reason why the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We want to sit under the Word, hear the Word, feed on the Word. Let God build up our spirit. Give us the barriers of truth against the foolishness of the world. And so that's why we need to hear. See, He says, sit, my children, and listen. I'm going to train you up in the fear of the Lord. Teach you how to understand that God has got your back. If you look through the Bible, you'll find people all through biblical history that had some treacherous things to deal with in their lives. And when you see that, you understand it was God who taught them what to do and how to survive. I'm not going to even take much time with it. I'll just mention a few. Think about the Hebrew boys being thrown into a furnace of fire and because they wouldn't worship a false god. And think about Daniel being thrown into a lion's den. We could go on and on. Think about Joseph in bondage in Egypt for all those years. Think about Job and all of his trials and his afflictions. But yet God was with them and brought them through. Think about Moses and all the plagues in Egypt that he had endured and brought the children of Israel through, away from their enemies, from the most powerful man on earth, on through the Red Sea on dry land. Think about that. You know, God's people have endured all manner of suffering, and God has taken them through. You can trust God when you learn to fear the Lord. Don't fear anything else but God. And when you fear God, He will take you through. The fear of the Lord is a wonderful thing. Notice this moving on. He says here, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. God is concerned about what we say. That's a very important thing. And what else? He's concerned about what you don't say. We live in a culture where people don't want to talk about God. I seen a guy on TV on one of the shows just this week, and he mentioned God. Oh boy, the internet lit up. Oh, it lit up. You can't be talking about Jesus or talking about God. That's unacceptable. It's unacceptable to you. That's why you tripping. And that's why you jacked up. Because you are will not give God the glory. That's the problem. This country and this world, not just this country, this world is at a dividing line right now. You know what is dividing between people who trust God and people who don't? People who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and people who don't. God has one solution for the problem of sin, and it's for all people of every nation, kindred, tribe, and tongue everywhere around the globe. There's only one gospel for the whole world. And you know what? It shouldn't be that hard for people to understand, really. In all truth, it's 2020 because 2020 years ago, Jesus was born. That's the truth. Now, you can act like you want to reject that and go around it, but it's the truth. It don't change the truth. The truth is you need to acknowledge Jesus. You acknowledge him anyway, but you just don't have his blessing if you don't trust him and believe him. God has configured everything. Your birth certificate is configured by his birth certificate. And you know what? Your tombstone will be configured by his birth certificate. Because it'll have a date that has to do with when Jesus came into the world. That's what the date is. The date is basically based on Christ and his first coming. Let's get back to that. Now, when he came as the king, because he is the king. He shall rule and reign. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And he said this, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And he shall rule and reign upon the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform this. So he promised right back there. That's 500 years or more before Jesus was born. And yet, part of the prophecy has already come true. And that is the most important event in human history, is the first coming of Jesus the Christ. See, that's why the world is configured around Jesus, because he came the first time, and that was about 2,020 years ago when he came, and he came to let you know that he is the King of Kings. He is the King of the earth. And this topic we pick here, let earth receive her King, is what we need to do in order to be saved. You must receive Jesus. Let him be the King of your heart. Let him be the king of your mind. Let him be the king of your actions. Receive him as king. Trust in him and believe that God has raised him from the dead. And the Bible says, you shall be saved. See, so I want you to know, repentance means I'm tired of doing it my way. Tired of doing it the world's way. I want to do it his way. And so I got to trust in him and lean on him with all my heart. Just thought about my good friend Bill Withers, who passed away. Loved his material that he wrote all his life. But he wrote songs that were kind of spiritual in nature. And we just want to say we were very sorry to hear of his loss, of losing him, because he was a great contribution to the culture in so many ways. And I just want to mention it because many times people sometimes get sucked up with other stuff going on in the world, and you don't hear about certain people because some other events in the world overshadow them. But I want to say we pray that his family is being comforted right now, and that we'll go right on. I just say he crossed my spirit, and I just wanted to mention it because he was one of my favorite artists. So we'll talk on. Let's talk about the king. Let earth receive her king. That means everybody on earth, God has given his king, Jesus the Christ. He says this. Notice what he says, moving on with this Psalms 34. He says, what man is he that desireth life and loveth many days that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. That's our prescription for doing things right after we trust God. God, let me make this plain. God will supply you, as he does me and any others who believe, with perfect righteousness. That's why Jesus came in the manner that he came. He came in order to make provision for your sin and my sin. to cover whoever believes in him, no matter who you are. Now, some of us know this verse, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. Then he says, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So God's purpose is very clear in the word. He sent Jesus in order that whosoever hears this good news, which we call the gospel, shall be saved. It's about believing. It's not about what you do or any of that. A lot of times that's how the devil gets you tripped up. He wants to get you tripped up into thinking the rituals that you do or the various stuff you go through or that you do makes you right with God. And that's totally untrue. One way you can be right with God, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. Now, you know, when that happens, God's not going to just leave it up to you to get yourself right. You know what he's going to do? He's going to move into you in his spirit. You're going to be sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise for the day of redemption. And when you're sealed, now the Spirit of God is in you, and he will teach you the fear of the Lord. That's what this psalmist is talking about. He'll teach you how to depart from evil and seek good and righteousness. He'll give you assurance and faith that your course will be completed. Do you know that? Every child of God has a course, and the course you're on will be completed. It won't be one day short. You will get everything done that God has made you and caused you to be born for in the world. You won't come short of anything. You don't even have to worry about it. Just keep being you. You don't have to try to be somebody else. Be you. And God's going to make you, because he already made you for who you are, gave you the skills you have. He gave you everything you have so that you can do something that he wants you to do. And he will empower that so you can get it done. You don't have to worry about it. The devil can't stop it. The world can't stop it. No one can stop it. The only one stopping it is you. God won't barge into your life and make you believe. But you have to trust him. You have to believe him. Let him be your king. This message I'm talking about here is let earth receive her king. He came to be the king of the whole earth. He is the only one who has earned that privilege. Move on here just a little. Psalms 34 says here, depart from evil and do good, seek peace and pursue it. See, that's the direction of your life after you're saved. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous and his ears are open unto their cry. Do you know that? Think about it. The righteous are people who believe God and trust him and are being instructed by him. None of us know everything we need to know. God is a God of instruction and teaching. He's going to teach you and nurture you and bring you through to understand him and his ways, what's important to him and what he wants you to do. And he will do that. Nobody else can do that for you. But God loves you that much. He loves you so much. When you begin to trust him and develop a relationship with him, he will direct your path. That's why we like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. I'm going to come back now. I want to read a passage from the New Testament to kind of key us in on this Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday was a great celebration ever since the first coming of Christ. And I want you to know that the first advent of Christ is the most important event that has taken place thus far in the history of the world. There hasn't been anything more important, and I'm going to explain to you why. Because God in eternity past promised to send his son. Before anything was created, before there was a world, before the world began, he promised that he would send his son. He made a promise to the son that I will give you a redeemed humanity and you will be the king and reign and rule forever and ever. And I could take time to show you that or teach that to you, but we don't have time on this session. So I'm going to just go right ahead now. But I want you to understand that the reason it's the most important event, that's how Jesus got in the middle of time. In the calendar, don't let somebody tell you something else or someone else is God. Jesus is the center and the focal point of time. Think about that. You know, every time the clock ticks another second, it's a second since Jesus was born. So don't let somebody tell you something else is God. Why aren't you in that prominent position, whoever you are? But when Jesus came, that first advent, it would have been approximately 2,000 years ago. You know, this is what Matthew writes in Matthew 21 and verse 4. All this was done as he came in. What happened? Let me explain. The Jewish people have a feast that they celebrate, and they've been doing this perpetually throughout the years, from the times of early Judaism on up until the first advent of Christ. And it's called the Hallel. I have that in my notes. Hallel. It's the root word from the word hallelujah, and it means the highest praise. The Hallel was a celebration of the time when God would send his Messiah. And the Messiah would come into the world to free man from the bondage of sin and to set the captives free, to give the people who had been called the covenant people, to give them everything that God had promised. And think about this now. It was always, and you'll notice this if you go through, if you study with us, you'll find out that God has never slighted anyone, even though they were not Jewish, even though the Jewish people were called the covenant people. God never denied a Gentile at any time. Whoever believed in him at any time, all the way through biblical history, was saved. They got saved by faith. Faith is the means of salvation. That's why the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen. And I can give you a history of that. We could just pick a few just to throw some on the table now. Right now, I want you to understand that you find people like Ruth. You find people like Rahab, the harlot. You find people like Naaman, the Syrian. You find all kinds of Gentiles who are saved all through the Bible from the beginning to the end. It never has been any different. So God's people had specific knowledge from God because they had been given the Word of God through Moses all the way through Malachi. They received direct revelation from God, and they were to be, like the church is supposed to be today, representatives of God, letting all the rest of the people know that God has made a way for you, that he's sending his King, the Messiah. So on this special celebration, they have this, and what they do, they wave palm branches in their hands, shouting, Hosanna in the highest! Hosanna in the highest! And on this particular time, who came down the road fulfilling the prophecy of Zechariah? Nobody else but Jesus the Christ. It says here in Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon the coat of the foal of an ass. He came in on the foal of a colt, on a donkey, which was standard fashion for a king. And the people began to shout and wave palm branches. That's why we call it Palm Sunday. Saying, Hosanna in the highest! Peace on earth and goodwill toward man. They were crying out, Hosanna, as we see here in the text in Matthew. Let me read it. Jesus is coming up the road, and all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet. And that's the verse from Zechariah chapter 9. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and they brought the ass, even the colt, and put their clothes on them, and he sat on them, and a very great crowd spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from trees, which were palm trees, and spread them in the way. And the crowds who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the crowd said, This is Jesus the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. You see that? So Jesus came right on schedule, exactly at the moment God had promised, and fulfilled their desire to see the King come in. That's what says, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So what I want you to understand is the Jews celebrated this feast. They celebrated this feast every year. And they still celebrate it now, many of them. Sorry about that. Got a little excited here. The Jews celebrated this feast each year known as the Hallel, which is the root word we mentioned out of the highest praise, hallelujah, which is the anticipation of the fulfillment of the long-awaited promise that God would send his Messiah, who is the seed of Abraham, the mighty one of Jacob, the son of David, the prince of peace, the king of kings, the lord of lords, the seed of the woman, the holy one of Israel, Messiah the prince. Many other names are given to Messiah all throughout the old covenant. From Moses to Malachi, you have these various prophecies and aspects of who Jesus is given throughout the old covenant. And the feast is a session of praise to God for the fulfillment of his promise to send his Messiah, who is the anointed one. So that's what we saw there, primarily, is the fact that God sent Messiah, the anointed one. Amen. So Matthew gives the account of what has become to be known the triumphal entry, because he came in at that particular time and entered into the city, and he is the king, announced himself to be the king. He had shown that he was the king, that he had the solution to all things, including death. He had already raised Lazarus out of the grave after 4 days, proving that he has authority over death and the grave. And that's what excites me, is the fact that he has authority over death and the grave. So you know what? We really don't even have to worry about death. Death has been swallowed up in victory. The only one who has proven that is Jesus. When he got out of the grave with all authority, he said, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth." Then he told his disciples, "Go ye therefore and teach all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you." And he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." So he's still here. I want you to know, I don't care what comes up on the world. Jesus, if he is for you, who can be against you? That's what Paul wrote. If God be for us, who can be against us? And let me explain a little before we close our thoughts. I'm just about done. I want you to understand there's nothing that you and I can do to make ourselves clean in the sight of God. A lot of times the devil and the flesh want you to think, and the world, well, it's all about good deeds. There's nothing wrong with good deeds. Good deeds are wonderful. But you don't have enough good deeds to make yourself right to a holy God. And God knew that. He knew that there's not a soul who could stand before me if I don't make a way for them to do it. The reason he did it is that he loves you just like you are. He don't want you to stay the way you are, because he'll fix you and make you better than you are. The stuff that you're worried about that may be broken, he can fix it. Stuff that you haven't been able to have control over, he can fix it. You know what? He'll start working on it the moment you open the door and let him in. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man open unto me, I will come in and sup with him." I'm going to come in and think about the way he said. I'm going to come in and dine with you. And I'm going to teach you. I'm going to lead you and guide you in the truth. I'm going to give you peace that passeth all understanding. Peace like a river, the writer says. You know, and I'm going to replace all that anxiety, all that fear. You're worried about all this stuff going on. You don't need to worry about it. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He says, just let me in. If you let me in, I'm not going to break your door down. But if you let me in, I'll come in. And we'll dine. We'll have fellowship. And I'll teach you how to handle all the issues that you're dealing with in your life. I'll make it possible for you to have the kind of righteousness that I require. You know how I'll do that? I'll give you my son's righteousness. He'll share it with you. He'll cover you with the blood of Jesus and with his resurrection, so you don't even have to worry about the grave. I pray for a lot of people out here right now who refuse to accept the free gift that God is offering. He's offering you freedom from sin. He's offering you comfort and peace rather than anxiety and pressure. And he's the only one who's done the work that you should trust. Who else do you know got out of the grave? Where is Socrates in the grave? Where's Plato in the grave? We could go on and on. Name it, folks. All of them are in the grave. Buddha is in the grave. Confucius is in the grave. One person got out of the grave with all authority and all power over death, and his name is Jesus. And he is the King of the earth. Let earth receive her King. That's what I'm asking today. This is really a statement. Let earth receive her King. You know what, if you trust, last week we talked about the bridegroom and the bride. And I'm going to get back to that just before we do. But today is Palm Sunday 2020. So I wanted to preach that the first advent of Jesus, the Messiah, is the most important event that has taken place since the creation of the heavens and the earth. And that if you really understand and believe this, it will also be the most important thing that ever, it'll be the most important event that you ever have, that ever happened to you in your lifetime. That's what we're trying to do, is get you to the place where you understand God has provided you with something that's more valuable than anything else, is the knowledge of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He came for you. You can receive him right now. If you haven't received him, do it now. It'll be the best thing you ever did. And I want you to believe this because it will magnify and change everything in your life. It'll change your relationship to everything in life. It'll make you have more peace than you've ever had. It'll get you on the right track where you can understand the Word of God and how to navigate through these difficult times that we live in. And so I want you to know that, because there is nothing else more important than being saved, which is the result of believing in Jesus the Messiah, God's eternal Son, whom God has declared to be the King of all the earth. If you trust in him and believe him, the Bible says you shall be saved. If you will confess with your mouth Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's it. Very simple message. He didn't want you to have to be a rocket scientist or anything in order to understand. He wants a little child to be able to understand. I love you just like you are. If you trust in me, I will save you. And so that's what we're praying for you. We hope you're enjoying Palm Sunday. Next week we talk about the resurrection Sunday, when Jesus defeated the grave and death, which only took place 1 week after they had received him to be the Messiah. That's a very interesting thing to me. 1 week and a week later, they were ready to crucify him. And so we want you to come back next week, and we'll talk more about that. But what I wanted to say about last week's word, just as I close, and we'll have a word of prayer. When Adam had been in the garden there, we mentioned this, you can listen to the previous message if you don't know what I'm talking about, because we talked about the bridegroom's choice of his bride and how much he loves her. And I had been praying about this, and it hit me, and this is not like written in the word, but it's something I just wanted to share. I always wonder, why would he go ahead and eat that fruit after Eve had done it and been deceived? The scripture says Eve was deceived, but Adam was not deceived. It's very clear. And it occurred to me, and I thought about, well, maybe it was because God, the first thing we said last week, that's not good, it's not good that the man should be alone. And so what did God do? He opened up Adam's side, and he took out a rib, and he formed the woman, and brought her to Adam, and he called her Eve, and said, this is the mother of all living, bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, she shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. And I thought about his side being opened up for his bride. And I think Adam willfully knew, just like Jesus, that I'm going to give my life for my bride. He had already metaphorically represented the crucifixion by the opening of his ribs and his side to take her out. See, so that she could be his bride. And he said, I will willfully give my life for her. That's just something I want to tap on and add on to last week's message. Jesus died for you. He loves you. He will save you. If you're not saved, it's because you haven't trusted him. And I want you to make that agreement right now in your heart if you never did. Eternal God, here on Palm Sunday in 2020, I'm coming to you, Lord. Anybody in this Facebook family or hearing this message, anywhere, wherever they are, Father, we know you want them all to be saved. So, Father, we come in humble submission. We ask you to search our hearts and our minds, Father. We have issues, problems, fears, circumstances. Oh, Lord, we have lack. We have all kinds of things, Father. We have sin of all kinds. But we know that you said if we come to you and repent, that means change our mind. about all that. And so we change our mind about all that, Lord, about trying to trust in ourselves and trust in our jobs and trust in the government and trust in anything. Father, we only want to trust in you. And so, Father, we come to you with empty hands and an open heart. We have nothing to bring to you. But, Father, we want to give you our heart. We want to give you our mind. We want to give you our life. Father, we want to give you everything about us so that you can fill us with your Spirit. And, Father, we understand in your words you gave your Son to pay the price for wretches like us. And we believe him, Father. We trust him. We believe you raised him from the dead. We believe you put him in the center of time so we can't even really ignore him. We just got that revelation, some of us, today. And so, Father, enrich us, fill us with your precious Spirit. Guide us, Lord. Lead us in the way everlasting. Teach us to fear you and you only, Lord God, and that you will go before us and around us and behind us and cover us on every side by faith and that alone. Father, we bless you. We give you praise. We ask you to save somebody right now under the sound of my voice. And Father, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory as we look forward to the coming of celebration of your resurrection, which is the proof that death has been abolished. The worst thing that we could have heard sometimes, Lord, in this life is not as bad as the worst thing that the Scripture says we could ever hear. When people show up before you saying, Lord, Lord, talking about what they did and their good works, and you say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity, I never knew you. So, Father, we want to say we know you for sure, that only you and what your Son has provided for us is the covering for our sin, not by any works of righteousness that we have done, but strictly by his mercy, so that all the glory goes to him. And, Father, we ask that right now in the powerful name of Jesus. Touch every home, every family, every life, and every believer. Father, give us that comfort right now. We give you the praise. We give you the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And then the saints all say together, amen. Amen. We hope you have enjoyed the message. Praise God for you. See you soon. Amen.